Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the War Report. And for those of you, this is your first time, we welcome you as well. I guess I need to start off by saying that today we're going to have something different in that we're going to have two shows in one. The first half an hour, we're going to revisit some of our friends from a group in New York that made history a few weeks ago. And we're going to continue to talk about the making of history and some of the things that went into how they were able to do it. The last 15 minutes or so, we're going to revisit again a friend, Dr. Jesse Turner. He's coming back this time to finish off where we left off last time, and that he's going to give us more detail about his upcoming 400-mile walk from Connecticut to D.C. With that, we got a very tight show. We're not going to have call-ins this time because time is limited, and there's so much we have to cover. First thing I have to do is say Happy Mother's Day to my three guests from New York. I know I better get that in now. If not, I will be in trouble. So I'm doing that. And secondly, I need to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the world. And particularly, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to the mothers that make up Team War Report. You know, I love you and appreciate each and every one of you, and this is your day. I also want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the women who have been guests on the show in the 14 months that we've been on air. This is a special shout out to you for on your day. And to mothers all around the world. With that, let us get started. We have three people from a group that they will tell you about themselves. And what I'm going to do is intro each one and let them sort of give a short bio about themselves, and then we're going to get right into our subject. I want to start with Christine. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, how are you? I'm good. I'm Christine Zirkelbach. I've been active in the battle for public education. This is about October 2013. I mean, I followed a very similar path to many of us. We had tests with very bizarre scores, with 70% of our students failing. And then we had the Secretary of State telling us that we white suburban moms don't understand that our schools are not as good as we thought they were, which is a journey that I think is, you know, not unique amongst us. What was a little bit different for me, perhaps, is that I am the mother of a special education child who is incredibly successful, and I'm fortunate that he's graduating this year and has missed most of the issues that have come up in education by, you know, the skin of his teeth, basically. But I am active in support groups with other parents of children, particularly children on the autistic spectrum. And they really just tied me in with the issues that their children were facing in school, how unflexible it's become, and myself seeing the children coming up now not getting the flexibility or the accommodations or modifications to their curriculum that my son needed to become so successful.
Okay.
So here I am.
All right. Deborah.
Hello there. I'm well, thank you. I came to this, I guess, around
March. Give us your full name, Deborah. Give us your full name.
Sorry, Deborah Abramson Brooks. I'm from Nassau County in Long Island, in New York. And I came to this right by, I kind of volunteered for this. I had a friend approach me at a function sometime in March or February of 2013. And basically implored me to get on board and do something. That's what she said. You have to do something. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And she then proceeded to talk to me about how there was the education reform, the new Regents agenda, the Regents reform agenda, and how Common Core was being implemented, and a lot of kids were falling through the cracks, and how the standardized tests that were going to be given that year were going to contain material that many of the children in New York State had not yet been taught. Whether because the modules weren't ready or the curriculum wasn't aligned with the standards yet. And I thought that was the most horrific thing I had ever heard. And I couldn't understand why grown-ups, government officials, whoever were the powers that be, would actually contemplate giving a test that children would not be able to complete because they hadn't yet been taught the material. I just thought it was barbaric, actually. I thought it was cruel. And so that is how I got involved. I was completely unaware of anything prior to that meeting with this woman who pulled me aside. And I really didn't believe it at first until I started to do a little bit of research, and I found out that indeed there was going to be material on the test that many children had not yet been taught in school. And not only that, that a 70% failure rate was going to be predicted. And sure enough, the prediction came true. And I couldn't figure out how that happened either. And I started to do more and more research. And I have a law degree. My background is actually in criminal law and prosecution. And I remember thinking, wow, education is all law-based. I had no idea. And I started to read No Child Left Behind, literally from the very first statute in the scheme to the very last one. And I started to read the entire education code and all of the commissioner's regulations. And it's basically what I've been doing 24/7 since this whole thing started, because it's just incredible to me that there are people in government making policy decisions about education, and they have no background in education whatsoever, and it's a mess.
Well, thank you. Loy?
Hello. My name is Loy Gross. I am a professional math tutor by trade at the community college level. I'm a parent of two beautiful girls, and my experience was the change in their school district, or my beginning of my involvement, was the change in their school district. My kids are both gifted, and the school district is a small, poor, rural school district, but had always done a great job in accommodating my children's needs. They challenged them educationally, they adapted instruction where necessary, and really did, I thought, a bang-up job of doing what they could with the resources they had. And then all of a sudden, that changed. And all kids had to go down the same path. And I started looking at that path and realizing how ludicrous it actually was in preparing kids for going even to the community college that I was at. My kids became very unhappy. They became depressed. And my husband and I felt that we actually had to take the step of pulling them out of the public school system altogether. The more research that we did, the more we found that they were caught in a steel trap of standardization, that there was, at their grade level that they were at, they're now in 8th and 9th grade, and at the grade level that they're at, there's really no accommodation or no way that we can fix this in time for them to have a healthy education in what was once a healthy public school and still graduate on time. So my husband and I are co-founders of United to Counter the Core, and we are a parent education advocacy group in New York State. And we were specifically created to be non-political, to kind of take advantage of the whole bootleggers and Baptists phenomenon that's going on in New York State, where you have a wide variety of people who don't see eye to eye on any other topic, but they sure can see eye to eye on the inappropriateness of the latest education reform.
Okay, now, three individuals, different parts of the state,
mm-hmm.
and last week, I was trying to get a sense of how you guys are organized. And is it by county? Is it by school district? I know it's statewide. And I want to go back to that. Loy, you are in what county? Is your group a large group, a small group? And I think you're not affiliated, or you're not part of the alliance, the state alliance?
Well, my group is statewide. I'm in Genesee County, which is cow country in the western part of the state. But the group is statewide, and we work with both NYSAP and Stop Common Core in New York State. We work with New York State Refuse and Tests, and we work with 225 local groups on a local countywide or school district-wide level, which is where we see most of the action happening. It's in the school districts with the parents on the ground, beating the pavement, so to speak.
225 local groups?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Christine, you're in Hudson?
I am in Hudson Valley? Yes, I'm in the Hudson Valley. I'm in Putnam County, which is just north of Westchester. It has a unique distinction of being one of the most expensive and high-tax areas to live, but it's also pretty small. It's only 100,000 people, and it's certainly denser than Western New York. So we kind of ended up squished with Westchester-style taxes, but still more blue-collar type salaries. So we're certainly, here feeling the pinch. And one of the things that really triggers education issues in my area is the pressure of all these unfunded mandates, testing, obviously, and Common Core being one of them, but it's what's really squeezing our school districts locally. But as far as groups, I co-administer a group called the Hudson Valley Parent Educator Initiative, which is on Facebook as Hudson Valley Against Common Core. I also started a group called New York Stop Brad High Stakes Testing, because right now New York State requires five regions in order for students to graduate, and it's badly affecting our many special education students, many ELL students, as well as general education students that just, they just don't test well, and they have five regions and no other option. It's just too burdensome for too many kids. Hudson Valley Against Common Core and New York State Stop Grad HST are both member organizations of New York State Allies for Public Education. But I would, I tell people I'm like middle management. I'm more of an on-the-ground kind of girl.
You have more about like something 2,000 members in your Hudson Valley group?
Yes, in the Hudson Valley group, we have just over 2,000 members, and in the New York State graduation group, that one is statewide, and we have about 125 members right now.
Okay. Deborah?
Yeah.
You're...
Well, I'm part of the Long Island opt-out group that Jeanette Duderman started, and the way we are organized, and we are a part of the New York State Allies for Public Education, which is really the kind of like the umbrella organization, I guess, for all of the grassroots organizations throughout the state. And the way Long Island Opt-Out is organized is that every district in New York State, unlike in other parts of the country, for example, I'm from Maryland, and all of Baltimore County, where I'm from originally, is one huge school district, whereas in New York State and also on Long Island, every town is really divided into a school district. So out here on Long Island, between Nassau and Suffolk counties, we have hundreds of individual school districts. And what Jeanette tried to accomplish in Long Island opt-out was to get representatives from each school district, mom or a dad, a parent, and have all of us coordinate our efforts, feeding information to each other about what was happening in our respective school districts, and also getting information top-down from Jeanette and others as to what was happening more globally throughout the state and how it would trickle down to the school district. So it really worked both ways. It was from a very local school district, here's what's happening in our area, is this happening in your area, also kind of communication avenue, and also from the point of Albany and what was being disseminated from Albany down to all of the school districts, which was going to be more universal. And we found that we could really help each other greatly because many of us were experiencing similar situations but felt very isolated, and we were able to say, okay, well, this transcends geographical boundaries, and maybe what you did in your district will work for us in our district. And we also discovered each district has very distinct needs. My district has a sizable Hispanic population. Another district might not. So some of the laws that go to bilingual education, which is another unfunded mandate, will affect my district more than another district, but we can all understand that there's a certain amount of pushback where unfunded mandates are concerned, and that ties us all together. And locally, okay, I'm one of the co-founders of a local Port Washington group. That's my town. And we are a part of NYSAFE as well. So those are my groups.
Now, I raise that question because I want to get to one of the issues that we want to talk about. You guys are very diverse. It's a statewide alliance. And I'm going to, for right now, Loy, include your group for ease of conversation. Mm-hmm. You've been portrayed as a group of white, suburban, middle-class soccer moms who don't understand what the hell is going on. You're misinformed, and that you are terribly upset over the fact that you found out that your children are, you can say this either of two ways, not as smart as you thought they were, or that your children are as dumb as the rest of the student population across the country, and that this has upset you, and that your schools are not as good as you thought they were. And you know exactly who I'm talking about who said this. This is the image that the corporate reform group, as exemplified by Ernie Duncan, has portrayed you guys. And I think most people around the country may sort of accept that image. What you have said thus far really blows that away. How do you guys feel? Yes.
So this is Deborah. To me, it shows how incredibly out of touch with reality the people in Albany and in Washington, D.C., and the people with the deep pockets really are. And at first, I was completely offended. And then I realized, okay, this is going to be a learning experience and a growing experience, and I guess we have a public relations issue here, because clearly we are not getting through to the people in government as to who we really are and why we really are so upset. And through my advocacy efforts, I've reached out to, well, the first issue was one of simply communication amongst ourselves. I mean, I guess there were parents who were able to communicate with each other more readily because of the social media network. And there are simply some communities that don't have access to that mode of communication or don't speak English, but that doesn't mean that they are not aware or that they don't want to become aware, or if they do become aware, won't embrace the message. So there was that aspect of it, that maybe the face originally seemed that it was the soccer mom, but there were many different cultures involved in this and many different parents from many walks of life. And what I try to do now is every time I speak to a reporter, I will say, you know what? I know somebody who is representative of the Hispanic community on Long Island in such and such a district. You really should reach out to that person to understand that it's not just about me in my little neck of the woods, but it's miles and miles and miles of Long Island territory. And I know somebody in the city who would also like to speak to you, who is from a completely different demographic. So I think that we will start to see a change as word spreads, and there are more parents embracing this from all walks of life as they start to become more informed and more aware. And hopefully the people in Albany and Washington will change their tune a little bit, because it only makes them look foolish. It doesn't do anything to harm us, because we know who we are and what we're about, but it just makes them look completely unaware. And that's embarrassing for them.
Well, another issue has been people in Washington, people in Albany, in the media, and et cetera, basically say that you guys are shields for the teachers' union, that it was the teachers' union that put you up to pushing this opt-out movement thing. And one source goes as far as doing a cause and effect sort of explanation, and it goes something like this, that the teachers' union had been negotiating with the state for a long time, had not been able to get what they wanted to get, and as a result, they turned to their minions, the parents, and said to you guys, okay, start the ball rolling on the opt-out movement, and that we can't do it, but you can. How do you guys react to that? I know, let me just preface this a little bit. I know some of the people in your group, Kevin in Long Island and a few others, have been furious about this, as well as I think Loy and maybe even Christine have been absolutely livid with this characterization, that you guys are basically shields or minions doing the union's work.
Well, I'm going to say, this is Christine, I'm going to jump in on this one, and yes, at this particular, I'm going to call it media spin, because that's basically what the education, corporate education reformers do. I think we all know that. They spin their stories and they make up their reports to back up the facts that they want to present as they want to present them, with nothing behind them. I would say that the Stop Common Core movement, which is what happens in the classroom every day, is far more important, and I'm sure Loy and Deborah will back me up on this, what happens in the classroom every day, the Stop Common Core, the Common Core curriculum, Engage New York, is really what the parents want gone. We can refuse the test all by ourselves. We didn't need the union for that. That was already in motion. If we were going to make any kind of deal with the union, if that's the story that you're going to be spinning, then the deal we would have made is stop speaking out against Engage New York, stop speaking out against Common Core standards, start talking about what's going on in the classrooms, how the kids are suffering, and because that's the fight that we want to win. That's the fight that we need the union to back us up on. Is we need to get Common Core out of our classrooms. We need to get away from these standards. We need to get a flexible curriculum back in place that serves everyone where they are. The whole testing one union leader spoke up about test refusals a week before they were going to the testing started. Two union leaders. You know, Randy Weingarten sent one, like, softball tweet, like, if she was in this position, she would be refusing for her kids, too. And Mulgrew said nothing. has not backed them up at all. So that's not union support. That's one union leader out of three. So that, where's the agreement there? The whole argument just falls apart. And I wish it would stop showing up in the media so much that parents are minions of the union, because we really don't care about the union, I would say. And if anybody wants to, you know, say that we do, that's fine, but that's not our issue. What's going on in the teachers' union is not a parent issue.
Okay, that
I'm done.
Takes me into my... I know Christine, folks. That's why I'm laughing. She's being very disciplined and being very diplomatic here. When we have conversations, I know what...
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just leave it at that. But continuing with this, Kevin this week, and you know what I'm saying, Kevin in Long Island, he was
sort of livid
over the fact that the union, I guess the state union people, when they put out their magazine, didn't have anything really to say about the fact that, I'm going to say, you guys collectively got 200,000 parents to opt their kids out. That wasn't the cover story. That wasn't the main story of this month's magazine. And he was livid, and he stated so on his, I guess, their page. Over 70 responses back and forth in terms of, yes, the union are not supporting us. The unions are ignoring us. And it sort of feeds right into my first question in terms of you being accused of being minions for the union. But I see here, as I already knew, that the unions haven't done anything. There's only one person, I think you just mentioned, was it the state president of the state union?
Yeah, Karen
came out in support of opting
and
out.
I just want to clarify, because there are plenty of teachers on the ground that are with us and have been fighting the fight who are union members, and that's not really who we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, the union leadership. In the back door.
You're talking about leadership.
Right. I just want to make sure. Yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to make sure that we understand where the teachers are coming from, and they're squeezed also. So
well,
it's definitely
union
leadership.
Step further.
Right.
I'm going to say, because you've been listening to the show for a while, so you know where I come in on the union. I am so pissed that the leadership has been, I call them Trojan horses for the corporate reform side. But I'll go a little step further here and say, when you look at NEA, Garcia, she supports Common Core Standards. Randy support Common Core Standard. Not only does she support, but she took money so that she could train teachers to go out and train other teachers on the glory of Common Core Standard. Mulgrew, I will punch you in the face guy. And across the country, union leadership has been very silent on this, and hence the labeling you guys of being minions for the union is nothing more than propaganda, nothing more than trying to tie your movement to the union in the effort of trying to destroy both you and your movement. That's my rant back to you, Gaslett. So, now, next, Loy and everyone else got silent over there as we do our rant thing. Okay.
No.
Loy,
I'm nodding all the way through everything.
Yes. Yep. So, I mean, I have, Loy and I met for like a second in Albany last June, and Deborah and I have worked together on a number of things, and we did a forum in Mineola a few weeks ago. So, yeah, we've all known each other in this world for quite some time, the three of us.
I'll try.
I think I hear a little chuckle back there. Let's move on to another issue that I know Loy will come in on, and that is the summit that just took place there, new legislation produced by Nolan and Flanagan, the evaluation summit. Is that the summit? Was that an effort to appease you guys in some way or form? Or was it just a dog and pony show to sort of like take the heat off of people involved with pushing Common Core standards?
I would say that the answer to that question is yes. I believe that there are those in Albany who think that that kind of education summit and the legislation that Flanagan and Nolan have put forth, there are people in Albany who truly believe that this is going to appease the movement. And they are so far out of touch with reality that we're uncertain at this point how to even bridge that gap, Grand Canyon-sized gap there. But in essence, neither of them address any of the real problems. If you were to look at Flanagan's bill and Nolan's bill, and I've spoken with Kathy Nolan, and you know she's a nice lady, and she was very happy to listen to us on education issues. But at the same time, she comes out with this bill, and the bill is about teacher evaluations. It's about how hard the tests were and how long the tests were and how opaque the tests were in terms of not releasing the questions. And there's a kind of a throwaway section in there, and, oh, yeah, we're going to review Common Core. But the whole thing falls into the same trap that Albany has fallen into time and time again. And that is, we're going to direct our own Commissioner of Education to review his own policies, or in this case now we have an interim Commissioner of Education, and we're not even sure what kind of authority that person has. But basically, we're going to go in Albany behind closed doors, and we're going to review our own work to see if it's good. Okay, I don't need, a fortune teller to tell me that they're going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we're fine. But we're not, okay? The bill that they've written completely ignores most of the concerns of parents. It completely ignores the length and complexity of the tests. It ignores the fact tests are still tied to high-stakes results, giving our children stress. It continues to use growth scores or VAM, which have been proven to be not appropriate by the American Statistical Association. Yeah. I mean, and the review committees that they're forming don't even include educators on them.
As usual. Let me break in, because I want to get one more thing in before hopefully Dr. Turner comes on. Am I correct? Not too long ago, just a few days ago, it came out of Albany that, well, maybe certain school districts we won't test. Others we will. Thus, I'm offering an olive branch here to the soccer mom.
That's not an olive branch. That's a wedge.
I think it wasn't about the testing. I think it was, we're not going to evaluate the teachers using the scheme that the legislature has set forth. And Christine and Lloyd, stop me if I'm mistaken, but I think they expected
all kids
to test.
Right.
But it's just the way they were going to use the test and the way they were going to evaluate the teachers, which is crazy because all teachers really want to know how they're doing. I mean, just as professionals, they don't want to be put under a microscope any more than I do as a lawyer, any more than a doctor does, but they want professional feedback. And so I think for Albany to come out and say, well, we're just not going to evaluate you, nobody wants that. And you just kind of sit back as a parent and you say, what are they thinking? Like, is it possible that after 2 years of doing this, with all of the emails and the letter writing and the phone calls and the petitions, and they still don't understand? How is that possible? And also it pits, I don't know how they were going to do, whatever they were going to do, but it pits, if you have a district with lots of elementary schools in it, for example, because the testing is grades 3 through 8, you're pitting elementary school against elementary school in one district, to test well or do whatever Albany contemplated the districts needed to do. You're pitting neighboring districts against each other. You're actually escalating the Hunger Games nature of this. You're penalizing the poorer districts because they may not have the resources or the equity, even though they may have kids who are incredibly talented but don't stand a chance on these tests. The whole thing is just, I don't know any other way to say it other than to say I don't understand what these people are thinking.
Well, you said it in the beginning when you said a wedge. It's a device. It's a tactic to divide and conquer.
Yeah, I said a wedge.
That's the way I look at it. Now, let me, because Dr. Turner is on, but so let me do my last bit here. For the moment, and just cast, Christine, just for a moment, I'm Arne Duncan. So don't hurt me, folks, okay? just for a moment. Okay, I'm Arne Duncan. I'm going to say to you, okay, you got my attention, little ladies, or should I call you soccer moms? What do you really want here, okay? Tell me, I'm in a mood, you got me in a mood to listen to you. What do you want? What can I do to appease you and stop this silly nonsense that you're engaging in called opting out? Let's talk. Let's make a deal. Can we make a deal?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I would say is the removal of the U.S. Secretary of Education's power of NCLB waivers, which I believe is being worked on right now. That's still, you know, going on in Congress. I don't think that's been resolved, but that would be my number one, is to take away waiver authority from the Secretary of Education. That would make me happy.
Okay.
I wouldn't stop me from refusing tests, but that would be my number one.
Deborah, let's make this quick.
I would say,
can we make a deal?
I would say that you should treat every child in the country the way you want the children at Sidwell Friends to be treated, or the children in your own school district in Virginia to be treated. That's what should be done. Give appropriate resources, give the equity, so that every child in this country has the opportunities that every other child in this country has.
Never going to happen. We can't make a deal. Loy.
Well, number one, let's repeal and remove our involvement with Race to the Top entirely. It costs more than we've earned or than we've received in grant money. It's been a net loss, and it's been a disaster for the New York education system. Secondly, return educators to the process. For example, Board of Regents in New York State, I know most other states don't have this, but they are supposed to guide our education system from kindergarten all the way through post-secondary, and yet none of them have to be qualified educators. None of them have to have classroom experience. None of them have to have any kind of referral from any other educators. They can be business people with absolutely no understanding of education whatsoever. Who puts, you know, a dentist in charge of the grocery store? That doesn't work. So we repeal Race to the Top, and we bring educators back into the process so that it makes sense for an education system.
Okay, I'm back as Arne. I see, ladies, you people are unreasonable, and thus this meeting is over, and we're going to continue along the lines of what we've been doing. We're going to find our own ways to crush you. Good luck in your ability to resist. Resistance is futile. That's from Star Trek. I love that. Okay, we have Dr. Turner is on. Ladies, we've got about 15 minutes left in the program. I invite each of you to stay on and maybe ask Dr. Turner something as he goes through his how I'm going to do my journey thing. And please, if you can, stay on. Jesse, are you there?
Oh, I'm here, and I'm enjoying these ladies from New York. Yes, I am. Keep opting out. Keep refusing these tests. You know, we fight back. Children are more than test scores. These ladies have it right. I'm glad I enjoyed listening to them. And I hope to meet them. I'm going to be in New York July 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. So, hope to meet you.
And if that doesn't happen, you and I are going to be back in New York this coming fall.
That's right. And then we can meet them as well.
Right.
No problem.
Jesse is going to take me on a road trip when I get to Connecticut. We're going to go from Connecticut to New York, and you said New Jersey, and into Massachusetts. But anyway, Jesse, with the time we have left, let's do what we didn't do last week, and that is tell people in detail about the upcoming walk.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think people need to know where places that I will be passing through. So if you live in Connecticut, I start my walk at Prompford, Connecticut. It's at a rural country store. I'll be stopping in stores, Willimantic, Manchester, Hartford, New Britain, Danbury, Bridgeport, New Haven. That's my Connecticut stops. In New York is a 3 days. I'll be stopping in the Bronx, going down the Grand Concourse with Mark Mason and middle schoolers and high schoolers, and we're doing a March for Justice, and I'll be leading that. In Midtown, I'll be doing something with the Bats. That's still coming together. In Long Island, we're working on some stuff with Liz Lynch and Louise Shore and stuff, and Long Island should be a blast and stuff. So that's my stops in New York. In New Jersey, I'll be in Jersey City, Newark, Trenton, Cherry Hill, and Camden. So people, if you're on that route and you're near those cities, then you want to stay abreast. Also in Maryland, we'll be going to Columbia, Glen Burnie, and Baltimore. And there are other stops in Maryland, but those are the ones that the ones I'm mentioning now are places that people have reached out to me and said, Walking Man, we'd be the stop here. And then in D.C., of course, I'll be at the Bat Congress, and I'm looking forward to participating in the Save Our Schools mock trial. We'll be at the Holiday Inn. That's where the Bat Congress is, and that's where the mock trial is. That will be on the 24th, on July the 24th. Everyone has an opportunity to walk the last mile with me, and we think we're going to have quite a crowd there. And then, of course, I always enjoy Bus Boys and Poets, and we'll be going to Bus Boys and Poets. So that kind of gives you the states that I'm going through. Oh, Pennsylvania, I forgot, I'm going to Philadelphia. Yeah, and we'll have a big event in Philadelphia. And Delaware, at the moment, is a place that no one has reached out yet. We're working on that, working out with National Opt-Out to contact people in Delaware so we can meet them. But I think that kind of gives you a little bit of the wrap.
Now, the people that you want to meet, how are the public responding? I said public, the ed community responding to your announcement of the walk. And since we have the people here from New York on, what have New Yorkers done to reach out to help you with your walk? And we're also putting in a little pitch right now that if you have in New York, you can. This is something that you can do.
Sure. Well, one, parents, especially parents with special needs children, have reached out, emailed me. My email, by the way, is turnerj@cdsu.edu, and people can contact me that way. But I have lots of emails from parents, lots of messages from teachers and BATS and the Save Our Schools, just lots of contacts, all positive. People want to do something. So that's one way. Things that they could do if they wanted to follow me, they could follow the walk. They could follow it on Facebook. I have a group called Children of More Than Test Scores. And there's an event page there, and there's a one man walking in the name of D.C. on that page. That's how I would follow that. If you wanted to follow me on Twitter, Reed Doctor. So at Reed Doctor, you'll find me on Twitter. That's another way to do that. You could also find me on YouTube. If you just email me, I'll send you all that. And we'll start putting up a toolkit for people that want to join. If you want to walk with me, and people are asking about this now. Students and parents and teachers are asking, can they join me? in the walk. And so I've been telling people, hey, you can walk a mile, you can walk two, you can walk an hour, you can walk a day with me, you know. If you're really willing, you can walk a week with me, but we'll arrange that. My people need to email me at turnerj@ccsu.edu. And that's the way to do that. And each state has liaisons. And so when you email me, then I contact my liaisons, and the state liaison will call those people. You can also, we're asking parents right now, parents and teachers and students, I'm going to do a podcast every day, and I want to be able to, for people who are not on the route, because I'm getting letters from Oregon, from California, from Alabama, from Mississippi, from Tennessee, from Texas, parents contacting me all over the country, and they can't walk, but they want to do something. So we have a writer, Dear Walking Man Letter, tell me your story, and I'll read that story on a podcast. Whether it's from a parent or a teacher or a student, I'll read one of those every day at 12 o'clock, and I'll respond to it, sort of like a Casey Kasem's Top 20 in the old days. But I'll do that, and I'll bring every letter that people give me. I'll bring it to the Save Our Schools mock trial, which is going to be phenomenal in D.C. We're going to stream that out. The trial is the people versus corporate education reformers. And we have a famous civil rights lawyer, Rose Fire from Alabama, Selma. She's going to be our judge. We have real lawyers. We have students working with the lawyers. And we're going to have witnesses. It's going to be a lot of fun. But so people can follow me. They can email me. And they can write me a Dear Jesse letter. And, of course, you know, I do need to raise some funds. I'm trying to raise $3,500. That's half the cost of my walk. The other half I'll do. So I do have a GoFundMe project that I'm asking people. I walk 10 miles a day. Hey, how about 10 for 10? Give 10 to Jesse, and Jesse will walk that 10. So I think that's a lot of information right now, James.
I'm taking notes. So, you know, that's
well,
okay.
I'll send it to Joe Leave so we can post all this. So we'll be
also
on the War Report page. Yeah.
Also, you should say that every Sunday that you're walking, you're going to call in and give us an update the last 15 minutes of that show each Sunday that you're out there.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that. That's exciting. You know, it will. I want to give people ways to resist, to stand up. And for some of us, it's like the ladies that run the show. I mean, it takes a lot of guts and a lot of determination to refuse to test in New York or to opt out of the test in Connecticut or in Colorado or anywhere in this country. You are facing a wall of intimidation. And these ladies are brave and courageous. And I respect them and I admire them. And I want a million people to join them. You know, that would be the most beautiful thing. But also, just people saying no. People standing up, people writing a letter, people making a phone call, people on Facebook liking the National Opt-Out page, all of these little things. So we're trying to provide lots of ways for people. I know not everyone is at the same place at the same time. You know, so these ladies are in the thick of the fight right now. But there's some other mothers out there.
Let me, Jesse, let me see if Deborah is still on, and if so, she
I'm
would
here.
Be a person. Hi, Deborah. Jesse, you need to talk to Deborah. She's on Facebook. Christine, you need to talk to her. Christine is a tremendous facilitator. She is my go-to person in New York. You need to talk to these two people because, again, they're a member of this alliance that stretches across the entire state of New York. And if anyone can help you build a network to support you when you're in New York, these two women can do it. I know I'm putting words in your mouth, Deborah, and you don't like that.
Well, you're saying
some
okay.
Dr. Turner said he's going to be in Danbury, and I'm in Brewster, which is just across the border in New York State. So we can have a little convo. Yeah, there you go. I definitely can make it to Danbury, but we'll see if we could have you walk over this way a little bit.
No problem. I know where Brewster is. I drive through Brewster a lot. I'm from New Jersey, so I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey, so you know I'm always making that trip to see my friends and family. So go to the Brewster.
Junction 684 and 84.
Yeah, 684. It's a lifesaver on that journey.
Yep. Deborah,
we will
in your neck of the woods, is Jesse coming anywhere near your neck of the woods?
I don't know. Are you shooting off east, or are you just staying along the mainland? Are you actually coming over a bridge or a tunnel, Jesse?
We are coming through. I do cut across the mainland piece, and for as far as people want to meet, they don't have to meet me on the route. So I did this in 2010. So the walk pretty much is following the old Colonial Trail that John Adams rode. And everybody is not necessarily there. It does go through Yonkers. It does go through Harlem and the Bronx and Midtown. And I'm going out to Long Island because the Long Island people are going to come pick me up. So that's what I'm saying. If people are within 30 minutes, 60 minutes of that, we could certainly do something. And I'd love to meet you, just even if it's for coffee.
Yes, well, and we're not beyond going into the city to see you either.
So we definitely can figure something out.
Well, see, hopefully Jesse and Deborah and Christine, we've put a little network together here that you didn't have before, Jesse.
And this is what it's all about. This is honestly, it's what it's all about. Just interject a little bit. When I'm looking at, for example, the National Opt-Out Group, and I see somebody from, and this just happened, from Charleston, South Carolina, and they're having an issue with their state education department, I jump in. And I say, you know, we encountered something very similar in New York, and maybe I can help you. South Carolina's laws are very different than New York State's laws, but I'm not above jumping in and saying to somebody, you don't have to reinvent the wheel necessarily. And you form networks very, very quickly that way. So this is old hat for us already.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good indeed. Well, we are approaching the end of our time. Any last words from you, Jesse? That's a bad choice of words, last words. Okay. Anything you'd like to say?
Sure. Silence and apathy are not acceptable when it comes to our children. This is a $1.2 trillion scam that all the data points to. These reforms, No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, that's the most massive educational policy reform failure ever in our history. So, silence and apathy when it comes to children? No. We're standing up. We're acting up. We're screaming. We're yelling. We're taking to the streets, and we're taking back our schools. And I love these ladies.
Okay. Christine, you got 30 seconds, and then Deborah, you'll have 30.
Okay. Test refusals were not the goal. Test refusals were a mechanism to take control of the conversation. And we're going to keep pushing. And don't mess with mama bears. That's it.
Okay. I
love it.
Well, not to sound redundant, but it's really all about the children and what's in the best interest of the children. And I try to say to people, you know, if there was asbestos tile in my child's school building, you would expect me to fight back against something that was so toxic that might damage their health. When education reform is so toxic for our children, for a parent to sit back and not do anything is inconceivable to me. This is just, it's natural for us. You know, most of us didn't have to think twice. Once we understood what was happening, we were in. It was a no-brainer for us.
Okay.
It involves the health.
Let me cut in. Time is up, but let me also say that I'm going to use this format again in the future,
And the ladies that you heard today and others from their alliance, I will seek to have them on throughout the summer so that we can keep this opt-out movement alive and in everyone's mind through the summer. No relief, no let up, and be ready to go into the fall, making this movement even more potent as we go through the next school year. With that, I'm going to have to say, again, Happy Mother's Day to everyone, and see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.